plenty of practical ways to encourage your kids to remember. The most natural is to ask questions that lead to recollection. With very young children, keep things simple, focusing on returning their attention to the details of their day. Did you go to Carrie's house today? What happened when we got there? Just recounting basic facts like this helps develop your child's memory and prepares her for interacting with more significant memories down the road. As kids get older, you can be more strategic regarding what you focus on. Ask about a problem they had with a friend or teacher, a party they went to, or the details from last night's play rehearsal. Or encourage them to journal. Studies have clearly shown that the very act of recalling and expressing an event through journaling can improve immune and heart function as well as general well-being. More to the point here, though, it gives kids a chance to tell their stories, which aids them in the meaning-making process that improves their ability to understand their past and present experiences. When we speak to parents about memory integration and encourage them to help their kids talk about their experiences, one question inevitably comes up. What if they won't talk? Or, what if I ask about the art class and all they say is, it was okay? If you have trouble drawing out some meaty details about your child's life, be creative. One trick for younger school-aged kids is to play a guessing game when you pick them up from school. Say, tell me two things that really happened today and one thing that didn't. Then I'll guess which two are true. The game may lack a certain amount of challenge for you, especially when your choices include Miss Derek read us a story, me and Nico spied on the girls, and Captain Hook captured me and fed me to the alligator. But it can quickly become a fun game that kids look forward to. It will not only open up their lives to you, since you get to hear about two of their memories from school each day, but it can also help them get used to thinking back and reflecting on the events of their days. Another mom who had recently divorced wanted to make sure that she stayed emotionally connected to her daughters as they went through that difficult period. So she began the ritual of asking, as they ate dinner together each evening, tell me about your day. Give me one high point, one low point, and one act of kindness you performed for someone. Again, activities and questions like these not only encourage recollection, but also push children to think more deeply about their own emotions and actions, about sharing their days with someone, and about how they can help others. For specific events you want your child to think more about, look at photo albums and watch old videos. One great way to help them focus in more depth is to design and illustrate a memory book with your child. For example, when your daughter returns from her first sleepaway camp, you can collect the letter she sent home, pieces of memorabilia, and the photo she took, and create a memory book with her. She can write little stories and notes in the margins. This was my cabin, or this was after the shaving cream fight. Creating a book like this prompts your daughter's memory about some of the details she might otherwise lose in the coming months and years, while also giving her the opportunity to share with you more about this important event in her life. Simply by asking questions and encouraging recollection, you can help your kids remember and understand important events from the past, which will help them better understand what's happening to them in the present.
Whole Brain Kids. Teach your kids about making their implicit memories explicit. We've given you several examples of how to talk to your kids about implicit and explicit memories. If you notice that your child is struggling as a result of a past experience, one of the best things you can do is talk to him and help him retell the story of that experience. But it can also be helpful to explain what's happening in the brain when a past experience begins to control present behaviors and feelings. Here's a story you can tell your kids to help explain what's going on. Putting puzzle pieces of memory together. When things happen, your brain remembers them, but not always as a whole, put-together memory. Instead, it's as if there are little puzzle pieces of what happened floating around in your head. The way you help your brain put the puzzle pieces together is by telling the story of what happened. Telling the story is great when we do something fun, like having a birthday party. Just by talking about it, we get to remember how much fun we had. But sometimes something upsetting happens to us, and we might not want to remember. The problem is that when we don't think about it, those puzzle pieces never get put together, and we might feel scared, sad, or angry without knowing why. This is what happened to Mia. She didn't know why she was scared of dogs. Then one day, her dad told her a story she'd forgotten about the time a big dog had barked at her. She saw that her fears were about that time and not about the dogs she meets now. Now, she likes to pet friendly dogs in her neighborhood, and she even wants a puppy of her own. When you tell the story about what happened, you put the puzzle pieces together, and you feel less scared, sad, or angry. You will also feel braver, calmer, and happier. Integrating ourselves, moving our own memories from implicit to explicit. Kids aren't the only ones whose memories can intrude on their lives when they don't even know it. It happens, of course, to parents as well. Implicit memories influence our behaviors, emotions, perceptions, and even physical sensations. And we can remain completely ignorant of the past's influence on us in the present moment. Dan experienced this firsthand as a new parent.
When my son was first born, I would come unglued when he cried inconsolably. I know a baby's cry is hard for anyone to hear, but I just couldn't take it. Panic would set in, and I'd become filled with dread and terror. I explored theory after theory for my intense and seemingly unwarranted reaction, but none of them rang true. Then one day my son began to cry, and an image came to my mind. It was a small boy on an examining table, screaming, with a look of terror on his scrunched-up, reddened face. I was next to him, and my job, as a young pediatric intern at the UCLA Medical Center, was to draw blood from him so we could figure out why he had such a high fever. My pediatric partner and I had to relive this horror with child after child, one of us holding the syringe, the other holding down the screaming child. I hadn't thought about my pediatrics internship in years. I remembered it as a good year overall, and I recalled being glad when it was over. But the middle-of-the-night cries of my six-month-old son triggered my flashback to this scene, and over the days that followed, I began to understand the connection. I thought a lot about those memories and talked to a few friends and colleagues about my experience. It began to be clear to me that this trauma from years earlier had remained implicit and was surfacing explicitly only now. I realized that I had completed my year-long internship and moved on to the next phase of my life, never having consciously reflected on my painful experiences. I never processed them in a way that would make them readily available for later explicit retrieval. Years later, then, as a young parent, I went through the painful self-reflection that allowed me to see this as an unresolved issue in myself, and I was able to hear my son's cries for what they were without all the baggage from the past.
Unexamined or disintegrated memories cause all kinds of problems for any adult trying to live a healthy relational life. But for parents, these hidden memories are especially dangerous for two main reasons. First of all, even when they're very young, our kids can pick up on our feelings of dread or distress or inadequacy, even if we don't realize we're experiencing them. And when a parent is upset, it's very difficult for a child to remain calm and happy. Second, implicit memories can trigger responses from us that cause us to act in ways we don't want to. Old feelings of being left out, abandoned, or put down by others or by our own parents can keep us from being mature, loving, and respectful when we interact with our kids. So the next time you find yourself reacting a bit too strongly when you're upset with your kids, ask yourself, is my response here making sense? The answer may be yes. The baby's screaming. My 3-year-old just painted the oven blue, and all my 8-year-old is doing in response is turning up the TV. It makes perfect sense that I feel like throwing something through the window. At other times, though, the answer may be, no, these feelings don't make sense. There's no reason for me to take it personally that my daughter wants Daddy to read to her tonight instead of me. I don't need to be this upset. Based on what you now know about implicit memory, an insight like this is an opportunity to look deeper. If you're reacting in ways you can't explain or justify, it's probably time to ask, what's going on here? Is this reminding me of something? And where in the world are my feelings and behavior coming from? We'll talk more about this process in the Integrating Ourselves section of Chapter 6. Also, we recommend Dan's book, Parenting from the Inside Out, written with Mary Hartzell, as a great place to begin this journey of exploration. By integrating your implicit and explicit memories and shining the light of awareness on difficult moments from your past, you can gain insight into how your past is impacting your relationship with your children. You can remain watchful for how your issues are affecting your own mood, as well as how your kids feel. When you feel incompetent, frustrated, or overly reactive, you can look at what's behind those feelings and explore whether they are connected to something in your past. Then you can bring your former experiences into the present and weave them into the larger story of your life. When you do that, you can be free to be the kind of parent you want to be. You can make sense of your own life, which will help your kids do the same with theirs.
Chapter 5. The United States of Me, Integrating the Many Parts of the Self. Is there anything Josh can't do? This was the question other parents asked Amber about her bright and talented 11-year-old. Josh seemed to excel at everything, school, sports, music, and social activities, and his friends and their parents marveled at his abilities. Amber, however, knew that no matter how much success he achieved, Josh struggled with serious doubts about his own self-worth. As a result, he felt an overpowering need to be perfect at everything he attempted. This perfectionism left him believing that, despite his many successes, nothing he did was good enough. He beat himself up emotionally whenever he made a mistake, whether it was missing a shot in a basketball game or forgetting his lunchbox at school. Eventually, Amber took Josh to see Tina, who soon learned that his parents had divorced when he was an infant and his father had disappeared, leaving him to be raised by his mother. Over time, it became apparent that Josh blamed himself for his father's absence, believing that he had somehow caused his dad to leave, and now he did everything within his power to avoid making mistakes of any kind. Josh's implicit memory had equated not being perfect with abandonment. As a result, the thoughts running through his head on a daily basis, "I should have done better, I'm so stupid, why did I do that?" were keeping him from being a happy, carefree 11-year-old. Tina began working with Josh on paying attention to those thoughts in his mind. Some were fueled by deeply embedded implicit memories that required an in-depth approach for healing. But she also helped him understand the power of his mind and how by directing his attention, he could take control and, to a great extent, actually choose how he felt and how he wanted to respond to different situations. For Josh,